But right now, he's going to let me teach for a little while. Is that okay with you guys?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Where should we turn in our Bibles?
John 16.
Well, Mark 16. Mark 16. Her spirit had it right. Her mouth got ahead of her mind just a little bit there. Mine does that all the time. I've always had to go, come back here. Mark 16. We've been talking about the believer's ministry and what Jesus calls normal church. And it's not just church, it's what he calls normal ministry of believers. And the church at large today, when it comes to the supernatural or it comes to to anything miraculous, nearly all believers have the mindset of that belongs to the fivefold ministry. Now the trouble is that does not agree with the words at the head of the church. Who is the head of the church?
Jesus.
Now what he says goes, isn't that right?
Amen.
He can't lie. So we're going to read it again. I know by now your Bibles are just falling open there, but that's okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lord. Hallelujah. Luke 16, starting in verse 15. Mark 16. See what I mean? There you go. Hallelujah. 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 I'm trying to listen to him and get these words right. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, who is he talking to?
Disciples.
These are the men, and these are the disciples that have followed him for 3.5 years. These have been hand-trained by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Today you would say, well, this is obviously the fivefold ministry. These are the ones that he personally picked out of the world and hand-trained them. Now he's given them their commission right before he ascends back into heaven. So what he's telling them, he's basically, let me say it this way for your mind. All right now, you fivefold. You that I've trained. Here's your commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. All right, now let's see what happens next. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So they're supposed to go and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And some people are going to believe it. And some people are not going to believe it. Isn't that right?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's see what happens to those that believe it. What Jesus says about them. Alright, verse 17. Now these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they, the believers, who believe the gospel. Does that sound like you? In my name, they, the believers, shall cast out devils. Now do you understand that you have a spirit born from above? The very life and nature of Jesus Christ is in it. And you have authority over all devils.
Amen.
Have you got that?
Yes.
Quit saying the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. Like Marvin said earlier, the day is going to come in the book of Revelations when we get to see that rat. We will be astonished. We'll just walk by and say, it can't be. This insignificant fallen creature, this is the one that deceived the nations. This? Wouldn't it be a lot better for you to find out now while you can tread on him and all of his devils and get some people set free?
Yeah.
Start finding it out now, believers. Believers. All right, let us go on. It gets even gooder than that. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, I said it before, it bears repeating. You can go to heaven and never speak in tongues a day in your life. I mean, the blood is enough. Thank God for that. Amen. God's goodwill is just get saved and go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent, be saved and born again, go to heaven. That's his goodwill. But when the head of the church says, believers, what's normal for believers is that they cast out devils and speak with new tongues, the then I want to do that. Amen. Why would I want to refuse the head of the church?
Amen.
He calls this normal. This is for those that believe. Now, if the believers are believing the gospel of these disciples that he's sending out, do you think they preached tongues?
Amen.
Well, obviously they did. The baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. How else would they know what to believe? I'm going to preach speaking in new tongues. I am going to preach being baptized in the Holy Ghost because Jesus calls that normal. Now again, you can go to heaven without speaking in tongues. But again, the head of the church calls it normal to do so. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents. Now again, he is not talking about having some kind of a flaky church service up in Appalachia somewhere or anywhere else where you're going to prove God, prove your faith by them bringing in a box of rattlesnakes and you handling them. That's the same temptation that the devil tried on Jesus when he said, climb up on the pinnacle of the temple and throw yourself off. No. What he's talking about is like what we see in the book of Acts. After Paul and the rest of the crew was shipwrecked on that island, Paul was getting some firewood and a poisonous viper bit him. And all those islanders knew that if you got bit by that snake, you died. Because their comment was, well, he escaped the shipwreck all right, but he must be a murderer or something because God's not allowed him to live. In other words, if that snake bites you, you're going to die. But see, Paul knew something about the gospel.
Amen.
What did he do? He just shook it off in the fire.
Amen.
No ill effect at all. You say, that's against all the natural laws of physics. I told you, you're from another world.
Amen.
5 + 2 = 7 in our world. But 5 loaves and 2 fishes will feed 5,000 people in that world.
That's right.
Even the mathematics are different. All right? And then that explains the last part here. He says he will take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Well, if somebody opposes you and tries to kill you by slipping poison in your food, you have it on the authority of the head of the church. It won't hurt you. Gary, that goes against all logic. I'm not here to preach a logical gospel.
That's right.
I'm here to preach the words of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. He calls this normal for believers. And then we come to that real good one. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, here's the question for tonight. If it's the believers laying the hands and the healing is operating through the believers, isn't that what it reads?
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you. Now, if it's believers standing here, now get a picture. It's believers standing here with the hands, right? And they're laying the hands to get people healed. If it's the believers doing that, who are the sick? Unbelievers. Now the sad part is, I told you in the first night, I said if Peter and James and John and Luke, if they were alive today and see the church as it exists on planet Earth, they hardly recognize it. They hardly recognize it because if you have a healing line in most, and I mean the best, charismatic, Pentecostal, word-believing, full gospel, whatever label you want to put on it. If you ask for a healing line, all those that have pain in your body, all those that are sick, all of you that are afflicted, come up to the front. We're going to have a healing line. You normally get about 2/3 of the church. Now, something is wrong. Our gospel machine is broken. No wonder he calls engineers to preach. I'm beginning to understand it. We've got to do some research, study the manual, and pray till our teacher explains what's wrong. Amen? Now look at what it says. Now believers, they're the ones laying hands on the sick. Marvin, stand up. You just got to get a visual demonstration. I don't even want to use Marvin. I wouldn't want to use anybody, but you got to get what he's saying. If words mean anything, now, and they do, believers
I, as a believer, am to lay hands on somebody who's sick. And it's the healing, the anointing works from inside of me through my hands, enters into the sick person's body, and they recover, do they not?
Yes.
Well, if believers are supposed to be on this side doing the ministering of healing that way, then what in the world are believers doing on that side? Thank you.
Amen.
Have you got the visual picture? It's not supposed to be where we gather together and the believers are coming up to get hands laid on them by the presbytery or where you're going in fivefold. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong if you're sick, for crying out loud. You know, it tells you in James what to do. Call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you. The Lord will forgive you and raise you up. All right, but that's the exception, not the rule. Now, we don't have time to really get into healing. I mean, we could do a month-long conference just on that, or longer. But let me just tell you the number one reason. You can find it in 1 Corinthians for yourself. Well, you know, the question is, well, why do believers get sick then? Well, there's really three reasons. We perish for a lack of knowledge, number one. Okay? Number two, unforgiveness. And number three, not properly taking the Lord's communion table.
Amen.
Not rightly discerning the body of Christ, Paul said. Many are weak and sickly among you. Among you who? You believers at Corinth. And this is the reason why. You're not rightly discerning the Lord's body. Now, I used to think that meant, and I don't have time to elaborate, but Marvin will teach you as you continue to come. I used to think that meant I wasn't rightly discerning the fact that by His stripes I was healed. And that is a fruit of what Paul's talking about there. You do have to know that. I was raised in a denomination that didn't even teach that. That's really not what he's talking about in that communion passage. What he's really talking about, see, Jesus, when he took those stripes, you go back to Deuteronomy, and you'll see that a man that was in contention with another man, strife and division, both of them came before a righteous judge. When the righteous judge heard the evidence, the one that was guilty was to take 39 lashes. 39 lashes. Alright? So what Jesus did, he never was in any strife. He didn't cause any division. But he came as our substitute. And when he took those 39 lashes, he bore the punishment that we richly deserved. And by His stripes, we are healed. It's really what the punishment He took was the strife and the division that we get into with each other. And that's normally, that's the three main reasons. Lack of knowledge, unforgiveness. Now, Jesus plainly said, if you do not forgive every man from your heart their trespasses, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. You got that? In another place, he said, if you don't, he'll turn you over to the tormentors.
Whoa.
Got that? So you're preaching a hard gospel. I'm preaching a real one. Might as well know the truth. What's it worth to you to stay in strife with your neighbor? What price is worth getting out of strife? Better walk in some forgiveness.
Amen.
Better walk in some peace and joy. Jesus said, why don't you just be merciful like your Father's been merciful?
Amen.
He's already forgiven you a debt you could never repay.
That's right.
And here you're going to hold a fault because they said something ugly about you? If you ever let that nature we've been talking about grow all the way up, that spirit that you got, that's got that life and nature of Christ in it, if it ever comes to the surface, even while they're nailing you to a cross, you'll be saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Got that? Y'all learned anything?
Amen.
Now, this is why we're not having I didn't know at first why we weren't having healing lines and ministry lines. I knew the Lord would get around to it if He wanted to. You need to start understanding that's not really the function of the church. Not with believers. Now, it's fine if you're afflicted. We'll find some oil, and it doesn't matter. We can use Crisco and just get your head all oil. It doesn't matter. The oil is just a It's like a point of contact. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is symbolic of. And boy, we'll flat pray for you and we'll heal you too. According to the Word of God, we'll pray the prayer of faith, the Lord will forgive you. Did you see that part?
Yeah.
He'll forgive you, your sins, and raise you up. He'll raise you up too. But where we're trying to get to, see, as long as the devil can keep us convinced that we're the weak and the poor and the sickly, and we just, as that old song goes, a foot sore, it's a poor and shod, just don't make, barely making it through life. When the truth is, you've been born of the Spirit of the living God. You're an invading force from another world. You've been given all authority and all dominion in Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit Himself to teach you and guide you. You are an invincible army.
Hallelujah.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death, and sin has no dominion over you.
That's right.
Not only that, but sin and all of its buddies. What buddies? Sickness.
Yes.
And poverty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Now, my job again as a preacher engineer or an engineering preacher is to read this manual and pray until the one who wrote it can explain it to me. Because if we can start understanding the tools that we've been given, we can fix this thing. We can fix this thing. Now, we talked about one of them last night. And the tools, in fact, I know you know this, but turn to 2 Corinthians 10 just to refresh your memory. Now, the one thing you're going to have to understand, if we're, and we are, let me just phrase that different. In order to arrive at the supernatural revival of Marvin sees in His Spirit, we're going to have a supernatural church.
Amen.
You cannot produce the supernatural with natural means. We have been given supernatural tools and supernatural equipment, and if we can ever learn how to use them, our gospel machine will run right.
Amen.
Amen. And it'll work just like Jesus said it'll work. But see, man is not allowed to make up his own gospel. What do you mean by that? Oh, hey, pick a flavor. They're all over town. I appreciate anything that gets done in any of those churches every week. If somebody gets saved, praise God. If somebody gets healed, praise God. But what's happening, folks, is like mercy drops around us are falling. Here one, there one, a little thing here. And when God wants to come in like a mighty river and sweep this town for heaven.
Amen.
I mean, we don't have to pass laws to close the bars. The bars close because everybody got saved. Nobody wants to get drunk anymore. Even the bar owners get saved. And they say, let's use this building for Bible studies and churches and schools and things like that. You know, that happened. We've had those in the past. The Welch revival. Closed the bars for that very reason. That the fire of God fell so strong, the preacher would be preaching here and people would be slain in the spirit out in the street. Not even here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The fire trucks would come because they'd see flames dancing across the top of the church.
Glory to God.
But it wasn't flames that could be put out with natural water.
Amen.
It was the fire of the Holy Ghost manifesting, breaking through into this natural realm where even unborn again people could see it.
Glory
to God. That's what Guthrie is saying.
Amen.
That's what I say.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I know this is a real familiar passage of Scripture. But you want to get a little different insight on it tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now get this, we do not war after the flesh. Remember Marvin saying this is a war? Well, you better believe it. The devil will keep Guthrie forever unless you flat take it from him.
Amen.
This is war. Well, how do we go to war against an enemy we can't even see? We've been given weapons. Paul talks about them here. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That just means natural. You cannot win this city with bigger and better swimming pools for the kids. Midnight basketball. Now, It's not that you won't do any of those things. You probably will do some of those things. But that's not really the weapons of our warfare.
That's right.
See? For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, they're not carnal, but mighty. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Thank you, Lord.
What strongholds?
Thank you, Lord.
Now look up here, Ed. Every believer that is sick because of a stronghold in the way they think. And you might as well get that straight, because Jesus can't lie. Quiet in here now. It's a stronghold. You're thinking wrong. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
Right now, I'm not saying the devil won't attack you. He'll attack you. Just flat attack you physically. Now the contest comes is what happens when you get attacked.
Yeah.
Do you receive that or not?
Yeah.
Well, you say that right now. Because you know that's the right response. When that pain shoots through your head, do you recognize that as being an assault of the enemy, or do you just call that natural? Oh, well, I got a headache today. You better understand, Jesus said, pray, Father, your will be done in earth, just like it is in heaven. How many of y'all think there's pain in heaven? I mean, nobody thinks that, do they? He does not intend for there to be pain on this earth, and there won't be wherever His will is done. Have you got that? How many poor folks you reckon there is in heaven?
None.
Jesus hates poverty. And He hates greed too. But you just watch Him. Everywhere He went, He gave to the poor. And here come rich men like the rich young ruler. Oh, dear good master, what must I do to be perfect and that sort of thing, you know. And really, if you meditate that long enough, you'll pick up the spirit. My friend Nick has hobnobbed with the wealthy, especially the wealthy religious. That's common. Come in with your money. You got enough money, you can buy yourself a place on any board, in any ministry, anywhere. That's exactly the motivations of that rich young ruler. And you know what Jesus said? Now, most preachers would say, right, like Dave says, their hand would break the sound barrier, reaching out in agreement with this young man. Yes, you rich young ruler, you get right on my staff.
Hallelujah.
Jesus didn't say, give me your money. You want to follow me? Go give your money to the poor.
Amen.
Then we'll talk about it. I can't be bought. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You like this?
Amen.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Hallelujah. Okay, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Why? What strongholds, Brother Gary? I don't have any strongholds. Yes, you do. Casting down imaginations. What kind of imaginations? Well, you know, I know God would use Marvin because he's been fasting and praying and he's been called, you know, and he treats his wife nice and he's been doing things right. And I know God would use Marvin, but I know me. And I'm just me. And, I mean, God wouldn't cast out a devil using me. You got a stronghold.
Amen.
That does not agree with the words that we just read back in Mark 16. Are you a believer?
Yes. Amen.
Then you have authority over all devils, and the first thing Jesus said is you cast them out in His name. Your thinking's messed up. Now look what He says. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you're going to have to bring into captivity every thought. Can you see He's talking about thoughts? Your thought life to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? If Jesus says you cast out devils, bless God, what are you going to say?
I cast out devils.
And you better keep saying it till your thoughts change, till you believe it. Now last night, that brings us right up to our lesson tonight. That's my introduction. Now last night, how many of y'all like to do the supernatural?
Yes.
Now, see, last night we talked about one of our weapons, and it's other tongues. Why is that so supernatural? You're not the one creating the language.
That's right.
Now, see, it says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, it's your spirit doing the praying, all right. But my Bible says the Holy Ghost giveth the utterance.
Amen.
Praying in other tongues is just as supernatural as raising the dead. Why do I say that? Because you can't do it without God. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. He's the one creating the language. And it's a supernatural weapon. The number one. Now, we could go on and have, you know, we have seminars forever. That's why God's got Marvin here to teach you, fill out the rest of these things. There's four diversities of tongues, for example. All right, one of them is like a sign to the unbelievers, like you see in Acts chapter 2, where they were prophesying and praying in tongues, you know. But yet all these different people heard them speaking in their own language, even though everybody doing the speaking didn't know those languages. That's one type of tongue. The Lord used our pastor 11 times that way. He says that about it. He says, I barely speak English, you know. Now here he's speaking through an interpreter to the Indian people, and all of a sudden his dialect changes. And when it does, there's a man on the platform behind him that just goes pale. And after the service, he comes up and says, when did you learn Japanese? I never learned Japanese. You were preaching to the people in perfect Japanese. This man was a missionary for 10 years in Japan and learned the language fluently. And Dave says, isn't God something else? Here I am, barely know English, having to speak through an interpreter to preach to the Indians, East Indians, and God changes the language so he can speak a message in Japanese to the only guy in the place that knows the language.
Amen.
Now, isn't that something? Would you call that a sign to the unbeliever?
Yeah.
That was a sign to another believer right there. God's used him that way 11 different times. He can use you that way tomorrow if your thinking will allow it.
Yeah.
All right. Another type, there's four diversities. One is a sign to the unbeliever. Two is like you read about in Romans 8:26. For when we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Spirit knows, and he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. Now see, that's when you say, oh, Father, I want my Uncle Joe saved. I'm praying for Uncle Joe. Oh, God, send laborers into his path. And it's going to take you about 5 minutes to pray everything you can think of in English.
That's right.
But see, you don't really know what it's going to take. You don't know the particular laborer that needs to move next door to Uncle Joe. The one that Uncle Joe can relate to and will receive from. That's why you may pray every... Now, pray what you know to. Pray in English. Then you would say, Holy Spirit, that's all I know. I don't know what else to pray at all. Now I make intercession for my Uncle Joe. And you just start praying in other tongues and let the Holy Spirit start praying with His wisdom. Because He knows who it is that needs to move in there. He knows the laborers. And sometimes when you... Now, you can't make this happen, but sometimes when you get into that, that groanings from deep down will start on the inside of you. You can't work that when it will, but sometimes it'll just manifest. And God does it through my wife all the time. Hardly ever does it with me, but He does with her. And she'll just double over in groanings and cryings. And it's just... I think what happens is she actually tastes a little bit of what it's like to be lost. The groanings which cannot be uttered, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we got the sign to the unbeliever. We've got those deep intercessional groanings in the Spirit. And then everyone knows about tongues for interpretation. At any time, the Lord may just, He may just prompt me or anybody, it could be anybody here. He may have a message, something He wants to speak to this body this night. And a tongue will come forth. And it's a tongue to be interpreted. But that's another type. That's one, another diversity of tongues. None of those three can you really work at will. Only one of the four diversities did God give you the control of. And that is the personal tongues for edification.
Amen.
Tongues for edification. That's the one where Paul says, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. I would that you all spoke with tongues,
yes, yes,
and forbid not to speak with other
yes,
tongues.
Yes.
Amen? And God gave that to you on purpose so that anytime you want to, anytime you want to be taught by your teacher, let him start bringing those mysteries, passing the mysteries of the gospel. What kind of mysteries? Oh, just little things like the physics of another world. How to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How to get a cripple out of a wheelchair. How blind eyes come open. How you can cooperate with the Spirit and the gifts. Those are the very mysteries. It's Christ in you. Everything Christ is to you, in you, and through you. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching you as we go through. And I'm going to have to not take questions till afterwards. But remember, I don't mind to ask, I don't mind to answer. But if I answer one, then I've got to answer them all. Okay? Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, we talked at length about that last night. Going, that is the lowest place. Going in to the foundation, just the prayer closet. Take that lowest place of prayer and let him start passing those mysteries to you and start getting you thinking from another world, okay?
Yes.
All right, now, tonight, would you like to know a second weapon?
Amen.
Something that you can do that is just as supernatural as raising the dead. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, now, I know you've heard this term before, but you're going to get it a little differently, I think, than you've ever gotten it before. It's what we call confession. Confession. Now, there's several types of confession talked about in the Word of God. We are not talking about the kind where you come and confess your sins. That is one type of confession, and you sure better do that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is one type. But I'm talking about the type where you put the Word of God in your mouth, right in the face of all contrary circumstances, and you begin speaking it as though it were already true in your life.
Thank you.
Hang on just a minute. As you continue learn, as you get to more and more versed in praying in other tongues, you're going to learn, you're going to discern the ear of His, the ear of your spirit more and more. And He'll start, He teaches, the Holy Spirit teaches basically 3 ways. One is just by revelation. I mean, one instant, you've been praying this mystery maybe for hours, and maybe for a few hours every day for a week or two. And, you know, you didn't get nothing, as far as you could tell, but you were. He is explaining the very mysteries of the gospel to you. Then all of a sudden one day, now it may just come by revelation. It may come by you actually hearing His voice just start explaining it to you. It may come in vision form. But those prayers are intended to be answered just as much as any other type of prayer. Now, I was doing that one day, minding my own business, having a good time, just praying in other tongues. And the Lord said something to me that so astounded me, I said, Lord, I will not even write that down until you give me word on it. I mean, it sounded almost like heresy or blasphemy. I've never heard anything like this in my life. Now, I'll show you all this later. I guess you can look at it. I'm going to read the words to you. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said to me, or the Lord said to me, the Holy Spirit will not perform the unspoken Word of God for anybody. Not even God the Father. That last part was the one that I went. What? The Holy Spirit will not perform the unspoken Word for anybody. Not even God the Father. I said, yeah, I'm not even going to write that down. I'm afraid. That sounds like blasphemy. I don't. You're going to have to give me some word on that. Would y'all like some?
Yes.
I say, always ask for the Holy Spirit to confirm that from the Word.
Yes. Yes.
By 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. Especially you hear something like that. You better get some word on it. And if you ask Him, He'll show you. You know what I found out? He knows the Bible real well. He ought to. He inspired it, you know. Holy men of old, they wrote these scriptures by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, of all places, go to Genesis 1:1. is where he took me. I said, what do you mean the Holy Spirit won't perform the unspoken word for anybody, not even God the Father? I mean, that, I never heard anything like that in my life. Now, I'm still hurting. Now, surely you all can find Genesis 1. I still hear pages turning. It's in the beginning. Oh. Page 1. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now notice this. And the Spirit of God, is that the Holy Ghost? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now let me stop right there for a minute. Now get the picture. That word moved, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it kind of gives the Hebrew, every word has pictures associated with it. That's what's, it's very unique language. This is almost a picture of a hen brooding over her eggs. And that's the way the Holy Spirit was right there. I mean, the earth is void, it's dark, it's without form, and the Holy Spirit is brooding and hovering over the face of the deep. He's there. Now, let's talk about the Holy Ghost for a minute. He's the third member of the Godhead, is he not? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, our finite minds, we have to just believe this because we have some trouble with it. But the Bible says that there's one God. Yet there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but there's one God. Now, if you try too hard on that, your brain is going to start leaking out your ear. Okay? It's one of these things we have. It's God who is infinite, trying to reveal himself to finite creatures. But now, are they three co-equal?
Yes.
God the Father, if you had all three standing facing each other, they would be of full stature, the same. Eye to eye, nose to nose, chest to chest, so to speak. I mean, it's not God the Father this tall, God the Son below him, and God the Holy Ghost below that. No, they're co-equal. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, with that in mind, now think. Okay, let's do it like this. Now I want to read three verses. Read all three again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, he was moving, hovering upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, of the three members of the Godhead, we have God the Father who conceives everything. He's the planner. He's the thinker. He's the visionary. He conceives everything. We have God the Son who is the Logos. Isn't that right? In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God and the Logos was God.
Amen.
He is the Word made flesh.
Right.
Then we have the Holy Spirit. Now he is the one that literally, Jesus called him the finger. He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. Now the Holy Spirit is the molecule changer. He's the one that when you speak in the name of Jesus and say, cancer, die, I said, it's the finger of God, the Holy Ghost, that goes in there and does whatever he does to the molecules and makes that cancerous growth fall off in the floor and dissolve. That's the Holy Ghost. When sight is restored, the Holy Ghost did something in there. He's the molecule changer, right?
Yeah.
All right, now we've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Father conceives it. This world is dark. I don't want it to stay dark. I want light. Now let me ask you, did God the Spirit know what was in the mind of God the Father?
Yes.
Them being co-equal and all-knowing and all three of them God, he knew what the Father wanted, didn't he? Did he have the power to make light?
Yes.
Could he have done it at any moment?
Yes.
Did you notice he didn't?
Yes.
He was waiting on something. Now, he knew what the Father wanted. He had the full ability the whole time to manifest light. But he was waiting on something. What was he waiting on?
for the Son to speak. And in Hebrew, it really says, light be, and light was.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now think about this, though. How important is confession?
Amen.
If God the Holy Ghost won't manifest the will of God without the spoken word, not even for their Father, what do you think your chances are of Him doing it for you without you speaking the Word of God? Now, the church, this is part of what's broken in our gospel machine. The church does not understand. We hardly know anything about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not, if He wouldn't violate that principle for God the Father, He obviously knew what the Father wanted. He obviously had the power to bring it to come to pass at any moment. But if He wouldn't move for even for God the Father till the Word was spoken, if He was waiting on something from the Father, I wonder what He might be waiting on in your life.
Oh, Lord.
Boy, it's going to be a lot of different type conversations next few weeks, I'm telling you. When you start realizing that the Holy Ghost is listening to every word coming out of your mouth, and He's waiting for you to be speaking the Word of God with real faith, not head knowledge. And the instant He gets it, you have your manifestation.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's nothing impossible with Him.
Amen.
Now, we talked about praying in other tongues last night. You can see how that is supernatural. Isn't that right? Because you're not the one creating that language.
That's right.
All right, now watch this, though. When you start speaking the Word of God, you activate the Holy Spirit. How supernatural is that?
Very.
That is supernatural, is it not? The church has not understood her weapons. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I pray God just set a watch upon your lips the next time you start speaking in line with your symptoms. And not speaking in line with what Jesus said about believers, I just pray He alerts you.
Amen.
A red flag goes up and you say, oh, I've got such a healing. You go, achoo! I'm catching a healing.
Glory.
By His stripes, I'm healed. Glory to God. Achoo, achoo! Thank you, Jesus! I'm healed. Glory to God. If we can get the church doing that to where it's not just coming out of your head, and I'm telling you right now, saying this stuff out of your head, that's the big deceiver in the body of Christ. Head knowledge. If most people will settle for head knowledge instead of heart faith. Now, it plainly tells you in Mark 4 that the Word of God is like a seed. If you want to get a crop from the Word of God, you're going to have to plant it, and you're going to have to plant it deep, and you're going to have to keep it planted. That means you say it, you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you don't say anything else that would dig that seed up. It doesn't do any good to come in here and say, yes, bless God, I have all authority in Jesus' name, and I cast out devils because Jesus said so. That's good, isn't it? Then get out there in your prayer time and let the devil bring some kind of emotions over you, and you bawl and squall at the altar and say, oh God, I'm the worst, most flaky servant you ever had. God's going, oh brother. You know, I think about my earthly days sometimes now. You do know I had nothing to do with me being born, don't you? That was him and my mom's idea. You know? And for me to come in and tell my daddy, well, I mean, I'm just not worthy to be called your son. Him look at me and says, boy, I made you worthy. I chose to have you born. You didn't have nothing to do with this. You're a carpenter because you're my son. Now shut up with that.
Amen.
Don't you understand that this was all God's idea because He didn't want you lost?
Amen.
He chose you. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you.
Amen.
Glory to God. He's the one that drew you to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And you're worthy. He loves you. In his mind, I tell you again, you are the hope not only of Guthrie, but of the world.
Uh-huh.
Jesus himself has entrusted the gospel to us.
Uh-huh.
And if we don't preach it, he doesn't get to preach it. If we don't do the giving, he doesn't do the giving. They'll never get to. If we don't lay hands on the sick, he can't. Because he does it through you.
Amen.
And we've got to get it through our heads. We're just, this information is not carnal. You're going to have to get in this book. You're going to have to meditate with me. Get to talk about that, son. You're going to have to change what you're saying. Now, we're going to do some practical experience in a minute. In fact, go back to Mark 16. We'll just start there since everybody knows it so well. Now, I did say it right that time, didn't I? Mark 16, hallelujah. We're going to do a little practice. And I know y'all, some of you got to work tomorrow, so we're not going to go real late unless the Holy Ghost says to. Hallelujah. Well, how do I get into this? Well, number one, we won't turn there because it's just one verse, but Amos 3:3, the prophet Amos, Amos 3:3, look it up later. He gives you a great clue. He says, "Can two walk together lest they be agreed?" How many of y'all would like to walk with Jesus through this life?
Amen.
According to the prophet Amos, are you going to have to agree with Jesus?
Amen.
You do know he isn't going to change, don't you? We're the ones that's got to change. He ain't broke. We're broke. And he don't need fixing. We need fixing. Okay? Now watch this. Let's just agree with him just in this little verse that we've been doing every night. Let's get our mouth agreeing with what he said. This is how you make positive confession. This is how you sow the word into your heart. You ready? We'll just start at verse 17 since you are a believer. Say, "These signs follow me."
These signs follow me.
Because I'm a believer.
Because I'm a believer.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I cast out devils.
I cast out devils.
Every time.
Every time.
Over all devils.
Over all devils.
I have authority over them.
I have authority over them.
If one of them shows up,
I cast them out.
And they obey me. In the name of Jesus. I speak with new tongues. I'm a believer.
I
have a prayer language. The Holy Ghost gives me the utterance. I speak mysteries. In the Spirit.
I speak in
another
tongue.
Because I'm a believer.
Paul will have to say,
I speak in tongues.
More than
y'all.
Except me.
I'm going to give him a run for his money. Hallelujah. Might as well.
Yes.
Glory to God. Paul would love it. He'd be going, please. Please. Hallelujah. All right. How about this one? In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As I sojourn through life.
As I sojourn through life.
Doing my gospel work.
Doing my gospel work.
Poisonous snakes can't hurt me.
Poisonous snakes can't hurt me.
Poison can't hurt me.
Poison can't hurt me.
I'm not of this world.
I'm not of this world.
I'm in it.
I'm in it.
But I'm from another world.
But I'm from another world.
I live under the physics of that world.
I live under the physics of that world.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm not a natural person.
I'm not a natural person.
I'm an invader.
I'm an invader.
From heaven.
From heaven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Not only that.
Not only that.
Since I'm a believer.
Since I'm a believer.
I lay my hands on the sick.
I lay my hands on the sick.
They recover.
They recover.
Now praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You and Jesus are agreeing now. You're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. He's been waiting to hear that come out of your mouth a lot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. See, coming in here and having me lead you in that is good. But what really does it is when you get off by yourself,
amen,
you start spending some time on purpose doing this stuff.
Yes, yes.
You get in there and start sowing it in there. You start walking the floor.
Yeah.
If I had time, I'd give you my testimony, but real quickly, I grew up with such a poverty doctrine in me. I mean, basically, the thing was, if you had Jesus, you had to be poor. I mean, and I wasn't rich by any means, but Sue and I were driving matched Cadillac cars, new ones. We lived in a glass house designed by an architect, the same one that designed ORU. Nice house. Making plenty of money. Now, we weren't rich by any means, but we were making good money. But as soon as I got saved, what was in my heart in abundance was that poverty doctrine. Now, the guy that led me to the Lord, he did not believe in poverty. And he wasn't teaching that to me. With my mouth at that point, I was saying the right things. But because of those years from the time I was little bitty, that poverty doctrine was really in my heart in abundance. And would you know that in the space of a year, we went from two Cadillac cars and a nice, real nice house and good income, all the way down to I wound up with a pickup that we named Lazarus because I had to raise it from the dead. Nobody but I could drive that car, and I had to pray in that truck, and I had to pray in tongues to do it. I mean, the gear shift was worn out. It was so worn out, I mean, you never knew what she's going into next, you know. I had to pray in tongues and shift. And we went from that house to what we affectionately called the Roach Motel. And I'm telling you, this little house was so bad when my oldest daughter first saw it. We turned the corner, and there it was. And this just warms a father's heart, you know. She says, "Oh, Daddy." That's where we were moving to. It's what religion will do to you.
That's right.
That place was so filled, I've never seen any place that infested. The ground around the house was infested with roaches. You did not sleep at night on your back with your mouth open for fear one of them fall off the ceiling. Now, the devil just loves that kind of stuff. And I still have a hard time loving the preachers that put me in that. I have a hard time. Now, let me tell you how God's instructions to get me out of that. See, it took years of training to get that in my heart in abundance. It took me hearing that week after week after week after week for those false imaginations and high things that were really not. I mean, they were exalted against the truth. But I believed them because I got them in my heart in abundance. You know how God got me out? You might write this down, three scriptures. Now, you could use other ones. I'm just telling you the three He gave me. He said, "Son, I want you to use Psalms 34:10, Philippians 4:19, and 2 Corinthians 8:9. And I want you to say those verses. Don't do anything else. But say those three verses 4 hours a day. Have you all ever tried that? Just three verses? You have them memorized pretty quick, you know. Here you go. Now here's what they say, those three. Philippians 4:19, everyone knows that. "For my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, Psalms 34:10, most people don't know that one. "But it's the young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And that word "want" there in Hebrew is the root word meaning lack. So it should say, "The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall never lack any good thing." That's what it means.
Glory.
All right? Then the third one was 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich." Now, I started doing that. I got one of my daughters to do that one night, just for 15 minutes. That sounds real good right now. You wait till you go try. She called me, and the one thing about my daughters, they won't lie to me. If I get them to commit to something, they'll do it. Well, this was late at night, about 10:15. She's over visiting. I was talking to her about it. She'd heard me tell that before. And I said, "Well, why don't you just try it for 15 minutes? "Okay." I said, "Now, really, before you go to bed tonight, do it." "Okay, I'll do it then." About 30 minutes later, I got a call. "You did that for 4 hours a day? My God, that 15 minutes seemed like a whole day." And you start trying that. Here's what it's like. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Surely half an hour has gone by. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. Here you go again. I don't want to just take up a whole lot of time here, but 4 hours a day. And boy, the devil's screaming in my ear. You have really gone off the deep end. Like this is going to change anything.
Glory.
You know, I mean, he was just, I didn't know it was the devil, though. And what's scary, it sounded right to me. I'm going, I've gone out. I've become one of those plates. I have flat gone weird. I kept on. Now, week one, let me put it to you this way. I'm really shortening this down. It took him forever to get me to do it in the first place because it didn't seem logical to me. Okay? And believe me, according to the world's way, it's not logical. But boy, according to heaven's way, it is.
Glory.
He finally got me to doing it. And after that first 4 hours, thank God, I come home expecting blessings on every side and a mailbox stuffed full of money. And our situation got worse. At the end of week one, it was worse. Week two, worse. Week three, worse. I mean, and you know what? We were in big trouble, and I don't have time. This is all on my tapes that I offer to you for free. You can get all this in great detail. The electric company in Tulsa was not impressed. I was praying. They weren't. They wanted their money. The place where I was making the car payment, they wanted their money. You know, and they should. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. But it took weeks and weeks and weeks. I had to be reprogrammed. One of the weapons that's not carnal that we have is the spoken word of God. Amen. And you've got to understand, it's not a matter of, like, you're taking God's word and I'm going to force you to bless me. I'm going to say this until you bless me. What's wrong with you? He sent his mind is made up. He's not the one with the false doctrine.
That's right.
He knew this when he sent his son to the cross. Jesus bore my sin on that cross. He bore my sickness on that cross. And I found out finally from 2 Corinthians 8:9, he bore my poverty on that cross.
Yes.
That's what it says. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, where? Heaven. Yet for Gary's sake, for your sake, he became poor. Where? On the cross. Why? So you, through his poverty, not your giving, through his poverty, might be rich.
Amen.
That's the foundation for your prosperity, and that's why Dave says giving is just an instruction of grace. Since I've already found out I'm a rich man.
Glory.
And I have access to the unlimited wealth of Christ.
Amen.
Anything God would have me give, why would I hesitate? I can't ever use up His wealth. I can't spend it all.
Glory.
I mean, what do you think? I'm going to pray one day and God's going to say, well, I could have answered it last week. This week there's a shortage. Give me a break. He says, the gold is mine. The silver is mine. I finally just found out I had an inheritance. That's all.
Glory.
But it took weeks and weeks, 4 hours a day in my case. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you my testimony. I don't know how messed up you are. It may not take you very long. It may take you longer.
Yeah.
See? I don't know how messed up you are. You need to pray, but get your instructions.
Amen.
But that's what he told me to do. Now let me tell you, once that thing turned, I'm telling you, all that time, it's not a matter of arm wrestling God. He had Jesus do all this. God's like a Doberman held back on a leash. He's trying to bless you. Let me bless her. Don't hold me back. And the only thing holding him back is her unbelief.
That's
right. And he's going, just crack the door a little bit. Let me bless you.
And she's over there. I don't believe you will. I don't believe you will. Yeah, I will too. Come on. Come on. Jesus paid the price. You can have it. Let me. And she's over there. I don't believe you. I'm not worthy. That's religion, see? But you keep praying. You keep praying. And I know what it feels like because it happened to me. Now, our situation had not changed. I mean, our finances was worse weeks into this than it was when I started. But one thing about me, I have no quitting sense at all. Once I know what to do, I'll do it, bless God, till I die. And I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and I still remember what it feels like. Now, what it felt like, I wasn't doing anything different that day than I had been doing for weeks. I was still just saying those verses 4 hours a day. On the inside, it's like I stepped over a line. And I wasn't poor no more.
Hallelujah.
Now I know what happened. Finally, it wasn't head knowledge. I had those verses memorized after the first 15 minutes. But I kept saying them and saying them, and head knowledge finally became faith in my heart.
Glory to God.
I come home that day, and the stack of bills on our table was taller than it was weeks ago when I started. And I walked in like a prophet of old. I think fire was shooting out of my eyes, and Sue saw it. She stepped back. And I walked right up to the stack of unpaid bills, and I said, I don't live here anymore.
Hallelujah.
I seek the Lord, and we lack no good thing in this house. And I am a blessed man. And I wasn't speaking out of my head that time. Every devil in hell knew I wasn't either. And let me tell you what, from that day our finances started turning, and within 14 months of that day we were debt free.
Hallelujah.
Now you're talking about a man that has no secular income whatsoever. You're talking about a man who has no normal ministry income. I don't sell tapes. I don't take up offerings. If the Lord moves on wherever I'm ministering, that had the preacher do it, that's fine. Marvin called and says, you know, he hates to make that call. I understand it. He says, what arrangements do you require? I said, here's what I require. I'm going to come. I'm going to pay all my own bills, pay all my expenses, and don't expect nothing from you. If the Lord tells you to take up an offering, you do that. And if he doesn't, that's just fine with me. He pays my bills anyway. All I do is write out the checks. I just work here.
Glory.
I'm the freest man I know when it comes to money. It's not even part of my job description. I don't think about that. I just work here. If the Lord of heaven and earth cannot afford to pay me what I need to eat, or let's say provide for me, let's put it that way, provide for me what I need, I'm serving the wrong God anyhow. Why do you go broke? Well, he's El Cheapo, not El Shaddai. What? I think he's El Shaddai, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now, just real quick, I just want to show you a couple of things for practice sake. Now listen to me, this is the most important part. Now listen. Nothing will change for you. And nothing will change as far as you affecting this city. Unless you start putting the Word of God in your mouth.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Is that low enough?
Yeah.
Do you understand that the responsibility just shifted from me to you?
Yes.
Amen. Do you understand what to do?
Yes.
Now listen. I still do it. See, I got tired of getting sick and having to be healed. I got tired of it. I started fixing me some vitamins. Any one of you can make you up one of these. You don't need me to do it for you. This is my confession sheet, my personal one. I pulled it out of my own ring binder here for health. I say it every day. Now, if I was being attacked in my body, I'd be saying it a lot every day. Now, for example, any one of you can do this. You just take the Word of God and you make it present tense like it's true. And your symptoms makes no difference. Now, here's just one. Exodus 23:25. The actual King James says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Clear enough? Here's the way I say it. I just took that and made it present tense. I serve the Lord my God. He blesses my bread and my water. God himself takes sickness away from me and my house.
Amen.
Lord.
Now, you get that in your heart in abundance, and some little flu devil try and show up at your door, there's going to be so many angels there, he won't even try and come in. Did you know that the Word says that the angels hearken to the voice of God's Word? Now, it does not say they hearken to His Word. It says they hearken to the voice of His Word. Now, I'm going to hold up my Bible and everybody be real quiet. This is God's Word, is it not? Now, do you hear any voice? Angels don't hearken to that. When do they hearken? When you speak it. You start speaking God's Word, the angels hearken to the voice of His Word. I like what Norval says. Faith has a voice. And if you're not speaking, you're not even into faith yet. You're into some kind of wish, and I hope, and maybe so. Faith has a voice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you just a couple more for practice sake. These would be for healing. How about Exodus 15:26? How clear is this? I am the Lord that healeth thee. What part of that did you not understand? Here's my confession. My God is the Lord that heals me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my healer.
Amen.
Now Jesus becomes to you what you call Him. Okay? Here's one, just a couple more. How about Psalms 103:2-3? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Not some, not part, all. Now here's my confession. Any of you can do this. You just take that, make it present tense for you. I bless you, Lord. I do not forget any of your benefits to me. You forgive all my sins. You heal all my diseases. You are just now entering, when you start doing that, you are entering into the very process by which God created the earth. God the Father understands how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. He's hoping we learn how to.
Amen.
Y'all get that?
Amen.
You get that? Y'all want to start speaking some things?
Amen.
Now later on, Marvin's going to be teaching you things like calling in the lost. If you've gotten some takes on that, I know it because I could recognize some of it. Hallelujah. But first you get it working in your life. See, the day is going to come when we have church. We're not going to be laying, it's not going to be believers laying hands on other sick believers. The idea is for everyone in here to get this in our heart in abundance. Walk in healing ourselves. Then we can go like with Maurice and we start going door to door. Do you have any sick here?
Amen.
Do you have any sick in the house? We're servants of the Most High God, and if we lay our hands on them and pray, Jesus will heal them.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, he said, but we're Hindu. Well, we'll heal you anyway.
Amen.
Lord. And then we're going to ask you if you'd like to serve Him. But if you get your little twisted child out of a wheelchair, you think you might want to serve a God like that? What did the Vishnu ever do for you anyway? Do you understand that's how to put it? It reminds you of the prophets of old, challenging those prophets of Baal. The God that answers by fire, He is God. Well, they've been praying to their little idols all these years. Some of them not praying at all. Some of them just rank heathen. But you come in and you're walking in what Jesus intended for the church to be walking in. You come in here and you pray and the Lord raises them up. They'll listen to your gospel then. They'll want to hear about your God then, won't they, Maurice? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.